Okay, today's daf is Ksubas daf Pei Dalid. We are holding on the bottom of daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis at the two dots about five lines before the end of the page. Rav Shimon Gamliel had said in our Mishnah that Masa Mashakasa Betorah Tana'o Batal, that her husband cannot be make it tonight not to be Yoresh Ishto, because that's a Dinda Raisa, and a person cannot be Masna Mashakasa Betorah. So the Gemara is going to have a statement of Rav that the Allah is Kamosa Vlav Mitaime, that we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but Lav Mitaime not for the same reason, and the Gemara is going to start with four different explanations of what Rav might mean by that, that Allah is like him for Vlav Mitaime. Then the Gemara is going to have a discussion whether Rav holds Yerusha Sabal is Daraisa or Yerusha Sabal is Darabanan, because once we're discussing Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion that you can't make a Tanai on Yerusha Sabal because it's Daraisa, so we're going to try to figure out what Rav holds with regard to the status of Yerusha Sabal. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about a person who dies with multiple creditors, and he also has people that owe him money. He has debtors as well. So what do we do? Who do we pay off first? When he has a balchov and a ksubas isha, and he's got yorshim who are interested in money, everyone's after his money. What do we do with the money that other people owe him? That's going to be the discussion in the Mishnah, and that's going to continue on to Amud Beis. We're going to have machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether to reverse a case that Beis Din paskind like Rabbi Tarfon of the Mishnah to give the extra peros solution to the koshel shabbat, which we'll see what that means. So we're going to have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether to reverse a case that they thought that Beis Din paskind like the wrong Tana, and we're going to have four explanations of what that machlokas might be about, whether to reverse a case where we think Beis Din paskind like the wrong Tana. And then the Gemara is going to conclude with several stories that go well into tomorrow's daf, just stories of cases where a person died and there were multiple people that were after his money, and Dine Torah that happened, and whether to reverse the Dine Torah, and what sorts of rayas were needed, all these kinds of cases where people died and there were lots of people after their money. So we are holding again right now about five lines before the end of the page, Pei Gimel and Beis. Rav Shimon Gamliel Lomer. We had said in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that there's no lashon that you can use to make it that the husband won't be Yoresh Ishto, because the Din D'Oraisa that a husband is Yoresh Ishto, the Kalamasa Mashakas B'Torah, to know about that, he can't make it tonight against the Dinei HaTorah, and the Dinei HaTorah is that the husband is Yoresh Ishto. That's the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Amar Rav Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel V'lo Mita'amei. We pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not for the same logic, not for his reasoning. We have a different way of arriving at the same conclusion. What do we mean by that? That Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but for a different reason. The Gemara is going to have four suggestions. We're going to reject the first three. That's why we have four. Ilema, first possibility, Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel da'amar imesi yirushana, that we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that if she dies, the husband has to yarshin, or he's always going to yarshin her. There's no way you can make a tanai to get out of that. V'lav mitamei, but it's not for the same reason. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds the reason the husband yarshins her is because you can't make a tanai against the Dinei HaTorah. V'rav savar tanai kayam, but Rav holds, yes, you can make a tanai against the Dinei Torah. V'kasavar Yerush Sabal d'Rabanan, but Rav holds Yerush Sabal is not a Din d'Oraisa, it's a Din d'Rabanan, and that you can't make a tanai against. How does that work? You're allowed to make a tanai against the Dinei Torah, but not against the Din d'Rabanan? Says Gemara, exactly. V'chachamim asu chizik l'divrayim yoser mishal Torah. That every once in a while, the Chachamim will make their dinim even stronger than the dinim d'Oraisa, because the divrei Chachamim tzrichim chizik. The divrei Chachamim are not taken as seriously by many people, and therefore the Chachamim have to make very, very strong rules surrounding their dinim. So even though it's only a din d'Rabanan that is Yerush Sabal, they made a chizik l'divrayim by not allowing it to be subject to Tanai, even though Dinei Torah are subject to Tanai. Sometimes you have it that way, sometimes not. Sometimes when you have a din d'Rabanan, it means we treat it more leniently than a din d'Oraisa. Savik d'Oraisa l'chumra, savik d'Rabanan l'kula, and many, many examples where we treat d'Rabanan less severely than dinim d'Oraisa. And sometimes when the Chum saw fit, they made the dinim d'Rabanan even stronger than the dinim d'Oraisa. So says Gemara, v'savar Rav Tanau Kayam, does Rav really hold that the Tanai is binding when you're Masal Mashakas Betara, when you make a Tanai against dinim d'Oraisa? V'itmar, but doesn't the Gemara say in a couple of of places in Mitzia Makos Ha'omer L'Chaveru Al Menas She'in L'cha Alay Ona'a. Let's say a person makes a sale and he says to the buyer, I am selling you this only on the condition that you not come back to me with Dinei Ona'a, saying that you were overcharged and therefore you mean Batal the Mekach. The halacha is that Yosem Rishsus is Bitul Mekach, that if he was overcharged by more than 1/6, then you could be Mevatel the whole Mekach, you can come and return the item and demand his money back. Rav Amar Yesh Lo Lavana. So even with such a Tanai that there shouldn't be Dinei Ona'a, Rav says the Dinei Ona'a still apply. The Tanai, you're unable to make such a Tanai. Ushmuel Amar Ein Lo Lavana. And Shmuel says, no, there's no Dinei Ona'a that apply. You're allowed to get around such a Na'a. The Gemara says in Makos, when it quotes this, it says that's if he says Shein Lecha Alay Ona'a. Or he says Shein Bo Ona'a, then it's a different story. That you definitely can't do. Because Shein Bo Ona'a means that there is no Din of Ona'a. You can't make it tonight that there's no Din of Ona'a. You maybe could make it tonight that the Dinei Ona'a won't apply to this transaction. That's the Gemara makes a similar chiluk with Shemitah. A person wants to lend someone money, but he doesn't want Shemitah to be Meshameh Eti Halva. He doesn't want that Shemitah should cancel the loan. So it's a difference in the formulation. If you say a formulation of that Dinei Shemitah don't exist, well, such a Tanai is not going to be binding according to anybody. But that Dinei Shemitah should not govern this loan, well, that relates to being Masal Mashkas B'Torah. But the bottom line is over here that Rav holds that if a person makes a Tanai, Shein Lecha Alay Ona'a, the Tanai is not binding. There still is Dinei Ona'a, and he can still come back and return the item. If it's Yosef Mishlos, so how can we say that Rav, when he passes the Kabshum Gamliel, the Lav Mitamei, is saying that we normally, when you're Masa Mashkos B'Torah, Tina Okayam, and it's only because it's a Dindra Abar, Chab Masu Chizik L'Devrei Yosef Mishal Torah, doesn't seem that that matches Rav's Shita and Rav's attitude about being Masa Mashkos B'Torah. So rather the Gemara says, no, maybe we misunderstood what Rav meant when he said that we pass on the Kabshum Gamliel, the Lav Mitamei. Ella, rather, second possibility, Halachah Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Damra Masa Mashkas B'Torah Tano Batal. The Halachah says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in that Masa Mashkas B'Torah Tano Batal, Rav agrees with that part. V'lav mita'amei, but the not according to his logic means Dil Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar Mesa Yirashena, Rav Savar Mesa Lo Yirashena. He doesn't agree to the application to our Mishnah. He agrees to the principle Masa Mashkas B'Torah Tano Batal. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel thinks that you could apply that to our Mishnah and say that you therefore cannot make a Tanai that the husband isn't Yoresh Ishto. So he says, no, that we don't do. We're not going to have such a, we're not going to limit such a Tanai. Such a Tanai can be made. That husband won't be Yoresh Ishto. Says the Gemara, but that's backwards then. Hai mitamei velo kilchasehu. That's not paskin Rav Shimon Gamliel velav mitamei. That's not paskin Rav Shimon Gamliel, even though you do agree with his general logic. So that's the reverse. So says the Gemara, third possibility. Ella halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel da'amar imesa yirashena. Rather, the halacha says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that if she dies, the husband yarshins her. In general, v'lav mitaimei, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel savor b'doraisa tano batel habidrabanan tano kayam. He doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's logic because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that the only reason he's going to yarshin her, even though he made it tonight, not to yarshin her, is because it's a dindoraisa. But had it been a din d'rabbanan, then the Tanai would have been binding. So meaning in our case, where it's a din d'oraisa, then Rav agrees 100%. But the implication that had it been a din d'rabbanan, the Tanai would have been binding, Rav savra filu b'd'rabbanan to no batal. That's what Rav disagrees with. Rav holds, even had it been a din d'rabbanan, the Tanai would have been binding, because not only is Masal Mashakas b'Torah to no batal, Masal Mashakas Masal Masham Rabbanan is also Tano Batel, according to Rav. Says Rashi, Habid Rabbanan, in the last wide line of Rashi, Kigon Zeshi Isna Shalo Yochel Peros. Like, for example, in our Mishnah, we had various Lashonos that the guy used when he said, Din of Gemara mainly b'nechsayich. So one of them is that he makes a tenai that he doesn't want shelo yachol peros b'nechsayich ube peros sehen. Now the peros are only din rabbanan that the husband gets the peros nechsei meluk. So that would be an example of being masna against the din rabbanan. So that's where Rav would say that even that you can't do, even though the Mishnah said if he says ube peros sehen, so then he won't get the peros. Rav would say you're not even allowed to make a tenai against the peros because that's a din rabbanan. So Tosa says, wait a second, Pirish for countryside and Paris for Kasha Lari, Dimkain Rav Delo Kichad. Wait, then Rav is just going against enough in the Mishnah. He's against everybody. There was no machlokas in the Mishnah. If a person says din dvar mele b'nechayich ube peros seyan, there was no machlokas in the Mishnah. Everyone agreed the husband then does not get the peros. And Rav is saying that he's being masnal mashom rabbanon, and that tonight is going to be batel, and he's still going to get the peros. He's against the whole Mishnah. Tav masnisa filu Rabbi Yudah mahani tana be peros. Vayinu mishum tol shchichi tamri bereish perik afal pi. Even Rabbi Yudah that you could have a tenai against the peros. So what's going on? How could Rav go the lo kichad? Venir lefarish b'drabanan hainu ba'alma b'shum davar davi midrabanan. He says, no, when we say b'drabanan, it doesn't mean specifically in our Mishnah's case. It means that in general Rav holds that b'drabanan tano kayim, but not referring to the case of peros in the Mishnah. That's the That's the sheet of Tosas L'chora, the more Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. If you just read the Gemara straight, that's the Pashas of the Gemara. That Rav is talking general rules, that B'drabanan to know Batel, but not with regard to the Peros, where we have a Perosh Gemara in Dafin Vavim Beis, that's specifically by the Peros, the Lo Shchichi Lo Gaz Rabbanan. So that's how Tosas disagrees with Rashi. Apparently, Tosas is reticent to say that Rav Tanu Hu Upalik, meaning Tosas whole problem is that Rav is against every Shita in the Mishnah, so we generally don't like to come on to Rav Tanuhu Palug because Rav was an Amora and he picked his spots. Even though he wasn't afraid to argue with the Tana when necessary, he didn't argue with Tanaim all the time. He mostly functioned as an Amora. So says Gemara, but that pshat in what Rav meant when he said that Allah Zakar B'Shukum Liyav V'la Mitameh doesn't work either, because Hai Bitameh because then it would turn out that Rav is not only passing like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he even agrees with the logic of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that Kalamasa Mashkos Batara to know Batal. Rav agrees with that. It's just that he adds and he expands that and he says not only is Masa Mashkos Batara to know Batal, even Masa Mashkos Rabban is to know Batal. So that can't be what Rav means. Elo, the fourth and final possibility. Halachak Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Damer Mesa Yirashena. Rav passing like Rabbi that if the woman dies, the husband will yarshin her. V'lav mitameh, when we say it's lav mitameh, it means as follows. Dil Rav Shimon Gamliel savar, Yerushas habal da'oraisa, v'kala masa mashchas v'tora, t'no batal. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that Yerushas habal is da'oraisa, and anyone who makes it tonight, to against the din d'oraisa, the tonight is going to be invalid. V'rav savar, Rav holds, no, we arrive at this conclusion differently. Yerushas habal d'rabanan. Rav holds that Yerushas habal is d'rabanan. And really, you generally should be allowed to make a tenai against dinim drabanan, but the chacham masu chizuk ledevrayim kishal Torah. But over here, the chacham made a chizuk ledevrayim kishal Torah. They treated Yerush Sabal not greater than the dinim Torah. That was the suggestion number one. Was that Rav disagreed and held that masa mashkas b'torah is tano kayim, but because it's drabanan, drabanans are treated more seriously than Darai. Says no, this version of Rav is that Rav agrees masa mashkas b'torah tano batel. He holds that this is not a din d'oraisa, but he thinks the same applies to dinim d'rabanan, that we could say the chamasu chesed l'devrayim kishel Torah specifically by Yerusha Sabal. So frankly, Gemara, for Rav Sav Yerusha Sabal d'rabanan, does Rav really hold that the Yerusha of the Baal is only a din d'rabanan? V'atnan, we have a Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka Omer, Hayoresh es Ishto, Yachzir l'bnei Mishpacha, V'yinakala min adamim. When a man yarshins his wife's property, he has to return that property at Yovel to her Mishpacha, but he could charge for it. He can get a little bit of money back. And we question, what's Rabbi Yochanan Broka talking about? When things go back at Yovel, you don't pay for them when they go back at Yovel, and things only go back at Yovel when they've been taken out of their normal line of Yerusha, meaning when it's been sold, when it's been transferred to somebody who's not in the normal Dina Yerusha. So, if you know that the husband Yarshins Midar Raisa, so why should he have to return anything at Yovel? When things continue to follow along the lines of Yerusha, it shouldn't go back at Yovel. V'idrabanan, if you hold that Yerusha Sabal is only drabanan, then why is he getting money for it? Just give it back. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It goes back to the normal mishpacha that is supposed to have it. So Rav explained Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in the following way, and through Rav's explanation, we're going to see our kasha. That again, we're questioning: does Rav really hold Yerush Sabal Rabbanon? So Rav explained, Liolam Kasav Yerush Sabal Doraisa. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka holds Yerush Sabal is Doraisa. If it's Doraisa, why does he have to give it back at Yovel? We're not stam talking about a normal piece of land. It was a base hakvaros that he yarshin from his wife. Because of pegam mishpacha, we make him give it back. Even though really, since Yerush Sabal is daraisa, he should be able to keep it. But because of pegam mishpacha, we make him give it back. Okay, so because of pegam mishpacha, we make him give it back. Why does he get to charge for it? What does it mean? Yinakalem min adamim, meaning he should be. Now, why does he get to charge? He should be able to charge for the whole thing. What does it mean? Yinakla min adamim. Yinakla min adamim sounds like he gets to charge, but not entirely. If it's really rightfully his, and it's just a din that we want the family to be able to keep their piece of a cemetery, their section in a cemetery. If that's the whole din, then why can't he charge the full value? So the Gemara says to make kever ishto, that he can't get paid for his own wife's kever because the halacha is that he's obligated to pay for that. He's obligated to be kover ishto. Kedetanya mocher kivro v'derech kivro ma'amado makom espedo bon b'nei mishpacha v'kovernos v'bal karcho mishum pekam mishpacha. That if a guy sells the family burial plot, the b'nei mishpacha can still be kover bal karcho because of pegam mishpacha. They'd have to pay for it, but because of pegam mishpacha, they can still sell the family burial plot. But bottom line is, all of this was one big question: how can we suggest that Rav holds Yerush Sabal is drabanan? And that's what Rav meant when he said that the halach scripture gumliel v'lav mitamei that he holds Yerush Sabal is only drabanan. Don't you see over here? Rav explains the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Broka to be saying that Yerush Sabal is do raisa, and he's only getting reimbursed he only has to return the kever because of pegam mishpacha. And so the Gemara, Rav Tameid, Rabbi Yochanan Broka Kamar, Velelo Sfirulei. Don't get confused between when Rav gives a psak halacha and when Rav explains the shita of Etana. When Rav says that Yerush Sabal is Doraisa, he's explaining the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Rav himself disagrees. Rav holds that Yerush Sabal is Derabanan, but it doesn't stop him from giving a reasonable explanation for the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So if you look at Tosas, Mishum Pagam Mishpacha, Lishkol Dami Vilehader, says Tosas, Temel Rashba, Dimkein Mayir Yabi. If it's all about pegam mishpacha that he's going to take money and he's going to have to return the burial plot, why does it only go back at Yovel? Afil below Yovel nami dal krach biyovel ayri. Clearly, we're talking about Yovel over here. Di below Yovel kamer demachzirim kena mayisruch le rav lememar disfile dirush sabal daraisa havle lememar drabanan. If it weren't Yovel, then you wouldn't need Rav to say Yerush Sabal is daraisa in order to reasonably explain Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. You could even say Yerush Sabal is drabanan, and you're just giving it back mishum pekam mishpacha. So it's got to be that it's at Yovel over here. And also, it was taught in the context of Yovel, so clearly it's about Yovel. But why do we have to wait for Yovel if it's all about Pekam Mishpacha? It says, Tosos, V'tzaruch Lomer, T'lekha Pekam Mishpacha, ad hayovel. The Bekam Mishpacha only kicks in at Yovel, because only then, Sha'oz kol hayirushos chozros, v'zu'ein chozeres v'nikar shem kvurim v'shal acherim. Because it's then where it becomes most obvious that the kever is no longer in the family. The fact that no one in the family is, that every other Yerusha goes back to the original owner, and this one hasn't, that's when it becomes painfully obvious that it's been removed from the family. So it's the greatest pegam at Yovel. That's why they're only misakin to give it back at Yovel. In general, by burying a woman with her family, it's always a discussion in the poskim where the proper place to bury a woman is. Meaning, is it best to bury her with her husband or best to bury her with her family? Meaning, she has the Beis HaKvaros, Chori is burying her there, and now he's giving it back at Yovel. So Rashi says, Pegam Mishpacha, that it's a gnai to have other people buried with them, or for them to be buried in other people's plots. But Shulchan Aruch paskens in Yardea, in Siman Shin Samach Vav, that a woman whose father says, I want her buried with the rest of our family, and the husband says, no, I want her buried with me, Tikavar Eitzel Baila, and he says, V'yesh Karshan Tikavar Eitzel Aviyah. Some say, no, that it's Tikavar Eitzel Aviyah, that it's a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch. And if she has children, though, she says, I want to be buried with my children, then we bury her with her children. The father says, lo tikaver etzli, and the husband says, lo tikaver etzli, if neither one of them want to be buried next to her. So Shulchan Aruch says, kover meitzel baila. So it sounds like the baal has the that the natural place to bury her is Eitzel Baila. There's a fascinating tshuva in Divrei Malkiel, in the Chelik Dalet of Tshuva's Divrei Malkiel, where he questions why no one has this minig anymore that they bury a husband and wife next to each other. Apparently, that the minhag, they didn't have the minhag for some time that they buried a husband and wife next to each other, because he goes a whole long tshuva justifying why no one does that. Nowadays, we always do. They always bury a husband and wife next to each other. So he tries to be done why it is that they don't do this anymore. He says maybe bizman hazeh, where everyone gets buried in the same Beis HaKvaros, and it's not just every family in its own spot. So they make a separate. So it's more important to make separate rows for the men and the women. And he says, that's what our minhag is, he says. His minhag, apparently their minhag was that separate rows entirely for the men and the women. And he says that even though it says in Mavre Yabok that it's nachas ruach le'isha to be nikbar in baila, to be buried together with her husband, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's what you're supposed to do, he says, but we're concerned that sometimes it's going to be izdamin, that yamusu b'yomechad ish v'isha, that a man and a woman are both going to die in the same day, and the men are going to be yosek b'kvura se'ish, and the women are going to be yosek b'kvura se'isha, and it's going to be men and women together in the Beis HaKvaros, and that's not appropriate. They shouldn't have men and women together by a Beis HaKvaros. That's and he says al pi Kabbalah, that's a very bad thing. So that's why we don't have the men and women in the same rows. At least if someone would die in the same day, that they wouldn't have the men. What about when they used to in the Shulchan Aruch, where it says that the husband and wife were buried next to each other? So that's when they had family plots. When they had family, what are the chances that two members of a family, one male, one female, are going to die in the same day? That's probably not going to happen. So that's why they didn't mind having family plots. But without family plots, it's a problem to have men and women together, he says, that in the Beis HaKvaros. That's a question. In certain funerals you go to, almost always there are men and women by the Beis HaKvaros. There are some communities where they're knowing that women don't go to the Beis HaKvaros. Some say, no, just pregnant women don't go to the Beis HaKvaros. But where does it come from for women not to go to the Beis HaKvaros? So maybe it's based on this idea that the men and women shouldn't be together in the Beis HaKvaros. He says, women do go to the Beis HaKvaros for Kvuras Isha. And his understanding was that the women were the ones that buried by Kvuras Isha. It's not our minhag either. We have men doing the Kvura by Kvuras Isha as well. We men are a little stronger. They could hold the coffin a little better when they lower it. And certainly the shoveling and everything else, it takes a little bit of muscle. So men tend to be the ones that do that. And he says the other issue is a practical psychological issue. He says because it really should be Beziva Grishon, the husband should be buried next to his first wife. And very often, if he had a second wife, that's going to cause Ragmas Nefesh. That that the husband is buried by the first wife. So he says that's the other reason why their minhag changed. But our minhag is not like that. Our minhag is we do bury, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, bury a husband next to the wife. Okay, so vayta l'gemara. Mishnah. Mishnah meis v'yaniach isho balchov yarshin. A man dies and there are lots of people that want his money. He has a balchov that he owes money to. He has a ksuba that his wife is supposed to collect from. And he has yarshim who are interested in getting all of their yerusha. Vayilo pikadon milva bi'aracherim. And he had pikadon or milva in someone else's hands. Meaning that that someone owed him money as well. Either because he had given them something to watch or they owed him money. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yinosin L'Koshel Shabbat. Rabbi Tarfon says, give it to the one who is otherwise weakest. The Gemara is going to explain in what way they are otherwise weakest, but give it to the person who otherwise would have the most difficult time collecting of the three. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Merachim Nin B'Din. Rabbi Akiva says, no, this is about Dine Mamnus over here. We don't get involved in Rachmanus, so we have most Rachmanus on. El Yinosin L'Yarshin Shekulun Shrikhan Shavua V'Yin Yarshin Shrikhan Shavua. You give it to the Yarshin because anyone else, in order to collect, normally has to take a shvua. Yarshim don't have to take a shvua, so it goes to the Yarshim. Hiniach peres tushim in hakarka. If the man left fruits that were detached from the ground, kalakodim behen zacha behen, then whoever gets them first is the one that becomes the rightful owner. Zach se isha yosim ksubasa. Let's say the woman grabs all the peres tushim and then she counts them up and it's worth more than her ksuba, so she's got to give some back. She can't collect more than her ksuba, but who does she give it to? Now she's the one that's muksukin it. Does she give it to the balchov or does she give it to the yorshim? Ubalchov yosral chovo, or the balchov collects the peres tushim and it's more than his chov was worth, so does he give it to Ksubas Isha or does he give it to the Yorshim? Hamosar, what do you do with the extras? Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yinosin L'Koshel Shaben Machlokas. Rabbi Tarfon says, give it to the next weakest, which would mean, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that the Balchov would give it to the Ksubas Isha would give it to the Balchov, not to the Yorshim. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Merachim Nebedin El Yinosin L'Yorshim Shekun Tzrichim Shvua Vein Yorshim Tzrichim Shvua. That Ein Merachim Nebedin, that you definitely give it to the Yorshim. Everyone else needs a Shvua. The Yorshim do not need a shvua. So that's the Sma writes that in the name of the Ramban, that even though Metalta Diasmi are not Mishtabi to a Balchov, and they have a mitzvah lefroa, Chovaviyam, and Bezin is not Musar to force Yisomim to be Porea Chovaviyam, since it's a mitzvah Shmatzchar Bezidah, but nevertheless, if Bezin wants to be Kofa, Harashus Biyadim, Bezin has the right to be Kofa the Yorshim to be Porea Chovaviyam. So ask the Pnei Yeshua if that's the case, they have a mitzvah lefroa Chovaviyam. Yorshim have an obligation to pay the chov. Chov means subsisha, any balchov that they owe money to. So even though metaltlin are not mishuba to it, so the people can't come and collect it forcefully, they have a mitzvah to do so, and basically be kofeh on that mitzvah. So how could Rabbi Kiva say over here, give it to the yorshim? Doesn't Basin have the right to be kofeh the yorshim to give it? So skip the middleman, just give it straight to who Bezin is going to be called for the Yarshim to give it to anyway. Meaning the woman collected extra, she collected more than her ksuba. So instead of her giving it to the Yarshim, then Bezin beating up the Yarshim until they give it to the Balchov, why don't we just give it straight to the Balchov? So as the Achronim point out, when we say kofa, there are different levels of kofa. Kofa sometimes means we beat them up until they give it, sometimes it means we take it away from them, and sometimes it means we just tell them, very bad, you really should give it. So over here, it's that kind of kofa. We tell them, very bad, you really should give it. But we're not going to actually take it away from them. So that's to tell the Isha to give it to the Balchov would be forcefully taking it away from them. And that level of kafia we don't do. Lamanli the Misni Milfa, Lamanli the Misni Pikadon. Why do we have to mention two different types of people that may owe the deceased money, both Milva, where he lent the money, and a case of Pikadon? Says Mar Tzrich, Ditan and Milva, Bahakam Rabbi Tarfon, Mishum to Milva Lotza Nitna. Maybe by Milva, Rabbi Tarfon would say to give it to the Koshel Shabahen, because Milva is Lotza Nitna, it's not the same money anyway. Aval Pikadon, the Isi Be'ene, but Pikadon, where it's the same object that's still intact, Ema Modu Rabbi Kiva, you might think is Motz Rabbi Kiva, that it should be more of a Yerusha type of an item, because it's that item that belonged to the father. The Itan and Baha, and if it only would have told me about Pikadon, Baha Kama Rabbi Akiva, I'd say, yeah, by Pikadon, Rabbi Akiva says it goes to the Yorshim, Av Bachem Motz Rabbi Tarfon. But I would think that by Milva, that Rabbi Akiva would be modded to Rabbi Tarfon to give it to the Koshel. But Shebehen, Tzricha, that's why I need both cases. Maila Koshel, who is the Koshel Shebehen? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Omer, the Koshel Sheberaya. It means he who is weakest in Raya. What does that mean? Rashi says it means the guy whose shtar was last. So he's going to have the hardest time collecting from the Chasim Meshubadim. If you have a Bal Chov and Ksubas Isha, whichever one has the later date, whichever one happened at the later date, is going to have a more difficult time to collecting from the Chasim Meshubadim, because the Shibud began later, and therefore you should give the Metaltalim to them. Rabbi Yochanan Amar L'Ksubas Isha Mishum Chinah. He says, no, Koshel Sheben always means the Ksuba, and the reason why we want to make it easy for the woman to collect the Ksuba is for Chain. What does it mean for Chain? So says Rashi, sheyimtzu ha'anashim chein be'inei anashim v'yunosos lehen, shelo tidegen alafsik subasan, to encourage women to want to get married. That if women see that it's not so difficult to collect their ksuba, that the laws are in their favor in terms of collecting the ksuba, they're going to be more interested in getting married. Tosos says, wait a second, don't we normally say, tav l'mesav tandu mi l'mesav armalu, yosim mashi ish rotzalisha, lisa isha rotzalina say, women, you don't need to be convinced to get married. We're not choshish mishum chayin. That's why Balchov collects bebeninus and Ksubasisha collects beziburnus. Ksubasisha collects the lesser properties. So what happened to chayin? What happened to trying to put the laws in her favor so that it'll be easier for her to collect? So Tosfos says, you ain't lidmos takanas chacham zulazu. You can't compare different takanas chacham to each other, even within the same topic, even within the same motivations of chayin. But still, you can't compare takanas chacham. Sometimes they saw fit to go in one direction. Sometimes he saw fit to go in another direction. And he gives an interesting example. He says, just like the Mashkin Beimid Bechaya Dachan Sheikilu Shalal Harbos Tuma B'Mikdash, just like the liquids of the slaughterhouse, we assume, are not makshir l'kabal tuma. The blood that comes out of the animal's neck is not makshir the meat to be makabal tuma. In order, and that was the takana that they made, in order to not to be marbet tuma b'migdash. But with regard to a lot of other things, we're extra machmir when it comes to tuma b'migdash. So why is it over here we're extra makel? You can't ask, because we don't know. Sometimes the chacham saw fit to go in one direction, sometimes in another direction. Kitanoi, and this is machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Yom Ramar l'koshel shabaraya v'ukasher. Rabbi Lozor Ramar l'ksubasisha mishum china. It's machlokes who the koshel is. Is it the koshel shabaraya, he who has the last date in the shtar, or is it l'ksubasisha always considered to be the koshel shabaraya? He niach peros atulushin. The Mishnah said if you leave detached peros as part of the Yerusha. So again, we have this machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, my yiria mosar, kulunami darshanavu. Why does Rabbi Akiva say only the extras go to the Yarshim? It should all go to the Yarshim, not just the extras from the Ksubas Isha or from the Balchov. So as Rashi says, given the time that Rekivim Shum Tolo Nishbu Hu Ki Tafsi Nami Amai Zachu Harei Zachu Ben Yarshim Mishas Misa V'Nitzidi Asmi Katafsi. If you're not allowed to take Yarshim's possessions without a Shavua, isn't that exactly what the woman did after the husband died, to grab these Metaltalin? She's not allowed to do that. Or the Balchov did to grab these. You're not allowed to do that. You got to give it. It has to go to the Yarshim, even if they grabbed it already. The Tfisa was Shalom Kedin. They shouldn't have grabbed it. It belongs to Yarshim. So why is it only saying the Moser goes back to the Yarshim? The whole thing should go to the Yarshim. Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that they're allowed to collect it, so he talks about Mosar, and therefore Rabbi Kiva also talks in terms of Mosar, because Rabbi Tarfon had already set the terms of the debate. But in Achinami, Rabbi Kiva would hold that it all goes back to the Yarshim. Rabbi Akiva, Tfisa l'mahani klal? Does Rabbi Kiva really hold that a Tfisa that the Isha does, or that the Balchov does, is completely ineffective? So answer Gemara, Amarav, Amarav Nachman, Vut Shatafas Mechaim. No, not completely ineffective. If your Tafas Mechaim, if the woman would have collected the Ksuba before the Yarshim were in the picture, when the husband was still alive, the Balchov would have been Tafas his money. When the Balchov was still, when the husband was still alive, when the man was still alive, then the Yarshim have no claims on them. The Yarshim cannot take away what they're actually owed. Then the whole discussion, even according to Rabbi Akiva, only would have been about the Mosar, would not have been about the Iker Chov. According to Rabbi Tafrin, where exactly is this money that they are allowed to take it? Where are these fruits that they're allowed to take it and that it doesn't immediately become the property of the Orshim? Rav Shmuel Amri Tarvai Vushi Tzibarnu Menachem Rishos Harabim. Rav Shmuel say that it has to be that it's in Rishos Harabim where no one is able to make where the Yarshim couldn't make a kidney on it. Avol b'simta lo, but if it was in a simta, which is a place where people would often do business off to the sides of the Rishos Harabim, so then Rabbi Tafron would not say kol kodem zacha, because since it's a place that's ro'i for a kinyan, that meshichas kona in a simta, so the yarshim would be zocha immediately b'shas misa. Any place that's ro'i for a kinyan, as soon as the guy dies, it would immediately belong to the yarshim, and then subsequent tfisa by a bal chov or by an isha would be ineffective. Rabbi Yochum Reish Lakish tar mitarvai afil b'simta. Rabbi Yochum Reish Lakish hold no, even in a simta, the bal chov or the isha could be tofes. Don dainik Rabbi Tarfon. So Dayanim once paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. Vahadri Reish Lakish lo'uv de minayu. And Reish Lakish made them reverse their psak to go like Rabbi Akiva. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Asisa Kishal Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says, why are you making them reverse their psak? You're making Rabbi Akiva like it's halacha l'moshe misinai, that you have to, that if someone passes like Rabbi Tarfon, that you have to go against it, that you have to reverse the whole psak. Granted, I understand the chachila we pass on like Rabbi Akiva, but it's not like the world's worst mistake to pass on like Rabbi Tarfon. So what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about whether they are supposed to reverse their psak to conform to Shitas Rabbi Akiva, or once they did like Rabbi Tarfon, they can keep it that way? So the Gemara is going to have four suggestions, what they're arguing about. Lema ba'akum ifki. First suggestion is demar savata b'dvar mishnah chozer, umash savata b'dvar mishnah enu chozer. To paskin against Rabbi Akiva has the status of being toh b'dvar mishnah. So the machlokas is whether you have to reverse a psak when you were toh b'dvar mishnah. Why is that being toh b'dvar mishnah? Halach Rabbi Akiva mechavero is divrei gemara. That's not a dvar mishnah. So why is that called toh b'dvar mishnah? So Rashi points out that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us toh b'dvar mishnah is lav dafka mishnah. Toh b'dvar mishnah means something that everybody knows, something that's shagur b'fi hakol, that everyone knows that that's the halacha. So something that's very basic, that's what the Achronim say, that even something that's mefurish in Shulchan Aruch would be considered tav b'dvar mishnah. If a person paskins against something that's explicit in Shulchan Aruch, it's nowhere near a mishnah, it's Shulchan Aruch, still that would be called tav b'dvar mishnah, if it's a basic level of knowledge that everyone's supposed to have. Says Gemara number two, lo, dekuli alma tav b'dvar mishnah chozer. Maybe everyone holds tav b'dvar mishnah, we would reverse the case. Over here they're arguing about the following. The question over here is, what is the halacha like Rabbi Akiva only when he argues against someone on his level, or even when he argues against his Rebbe, and Rabbi Tarfon is his Rebbe? So it's a question, what the Dvar Mishnah even is? Is it that that Rabbi Akiva, we pass like Rabbi Akiva even against his Rebbeim, or not? So V'ibay you say more, a third possibility, to kuli alma halacha Rabbi Akiva mechavero v'lo merabo. Everyone would agree, we only pass like Rabbi Akiva mechavero and not merabo. It's machlokas whether Rabbi Tarfon is his rabbo or chavero. It's machlokas what Rabbi Tarfon's status was vis-a-vis Rabbi Akiva. V'ibay you say more of the fourth possibility. To kuli alma chavero hava. Everyone agrees Rabbi Tarfon is chavero, and therefore halacha should be like Rabbi Akiva. What exactly is the rule over here? Is the Dvar Mishnah? Is it that halacha Rabbi Akiva mechavero, where we dig our heels in the ground and we say absolutely it must be that way? Or is it matin itmar, that we generally lechadchila would go like Rabbi Akiva, but b'diavad, if we didn't go like Rabbi Akiva, that would be fine as well? So that's the issue. Whether it's how strongly we say that we're going to go like Rabbi Akiva over chavero. Now, according to the Akimta that we said, that halacha Rabbi Akiva, that the machlokas was whether it's afilu meirabo or not afilu meirabo, Shidum Gretz's quotes from Rashi in Madura Kama, that according to that Akimta, even lechachilo we could pass on Rabbi Tarfon. Meaning the shita that holds halacha Rabbi Akiva mechavero velo meirabo would hold that even lechachilo, not just not to be chozer, but even lechachilo to go like Rabbi Tarfon, which isn't what the Gemara sounds like. The Gemara sounds like Rabbi Yochum and Shlagish both agreed that we don't pass on like Rabbi Tarfon. The question is, once it was already done, do we reverse the case? The Ritva discusses that point as well. Kravid Rabbi. Now the Gemara starts a series of stories about people who died in multiple. There were multiple creditors. Kravid Rabbi Yochanan Tavas Para Diasmi Simta. The relatives of Rabbi Yochanan grabbed the para of Yisomim from a simta. Also Kravid Rabbi Yochanan Amalu Shapritz of Tavas Tua. Rabbi Yochanan says that's fine. They're allowed to do a tefisa if they owed that money. They're allowed to take it from a simta. Also Kravid Rabbi Shimon Malakish Amalu Zilu Hadar. Rabbi Shimon Malakish says no. You got to give it back. The Yarshim are already kona from the simta. They went back to Rabbi Yochanan and said, Reish Lakish said, we have to give it back. He said, okay, Reish Lakish is cholik on me. What do you want me to do? He's shakul kamoni. He's just as big a Talmud Chacham as I am. I can't argue. Who Bakra Diasmi, the Tafsi Tura Mine Balchov. There was Bakra Diasmi, the Shomer of Behema, of Yisomim, who Balichov took one of the oxen from the Shomer. Amr Mechayim Tefisnalei. So they said, I grabbed it while it was still Mechayim, while the man was still alive, so it wasn't yet the Nichsei Yisomim. Ubakra Amr Liachar Misa Tafsei. The guy in charge of the cattle, the rancher, said that no, he took it after the guy died, and therefore it belongs to the Yisomim. Asul Kamed Rav Nachman. They went to Rav Nachman. Amr Liislach Sadi Tafsei. Are there any witnesses that he actually grabbed it and that he didn't just happen to have it? Amr Lav. No, we don't have any witnesses that he actually took it. Amr Migul Diachal Memer Lakoch Biyad Diachal Nami Lememar. Since he could say that he had bought it, because he's the one that has it right now, and no one would have known otherwise, because no one ever saw him grab it, so therefore he has that migo, so we believe him that he took it mechayim. I, frankly, Gemara of Amrei Shlakish, Hagodros Ein Len Chazaka. What do you mean he could say he bought it? Because of what? Because he's muchzik in it. Things that move on their own, animals that walk around on their own, Ein Len Chazaka. There's no Chazaka. There's a question, why Ein Len Chazaka? Rashbam gives two reasons. He says, first, because they could go on their own, you don't have to move them. And second, they're always outside of the house, so you don't have to break into the house to get them, because they're always outside of the house. Maybe that's why Ein Len Chazaka. Nafkamina is, do cars have a chazaka? Is a car is always outside of the house, but it doesn't move on its own, except for Google. It doesn't generally move on its own. So would there be a chazaka? Machlok saposkin about that. And so says Mar Shiny Tura to Misira Laroa. No, an ox is different because it's in the roa's rishus. Debay Nasiya Tafas Amsa Diasmi Mi Simta. The Debay Nasiya grabbed the Amsa Diasmi from a Simta. Yas Rabbi Avov, Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Rabbi Yitzchak Nafkov, Yas Rabbi Abba Gabayu, Bezin Sad and Dand, Amlu Shapir Tefisa Tua, that they grabbed her properly. It's okay. They have a chazak in her. Amlu Rabbi Abba Mishum to Ben Nesiyah Ninu Machnafisa La. Lahu. What? Because they're the Ben Nesiyah, you're gonna be machnaf them, you're gonna favor them, and tell them what they want to hear. Vadon Dainik Rabbi Tarfon, Vahadre Reish Lakish Uvdim Inayu. When Dayanim did like Rabbi Tarfon, the Reish Lakish made them reverse the din. So it's not okay for them to be toe-faced. It should go directly to the Yarshim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with the next story tomorrow.